This is VSiN's College Football Betting Podcast.
Welcome in another edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. It is the Week 7 preview. Matt Humans is here. I'm Tim Murray. As always, do hit us with a 5-star review on iTunes, on Spotify. Another week, Matt, in the top 200 on the iTunes chart. Shout out to all of you guys for the consistency. And just a reminder, we're up on YouTube as well, youtube.com/collegefootballbettingpodcast, a all-time high last week of views on YouTube. So keep hitting the subscribe there. Matt, before we jump into the games, I'm looking across the interwebs. Are you rocking a UCLA shirt? You cheering for the Fighting Jerry Neuheisels nowadays?
You know what? The UCLA shirt is all to channel the good vibes from last week's upset of Penn State. I need some good vibes after last week's losing record I put up here on the podcast. So I said, why not UCLA? A 25-point underdog that wins outright hopefully can bring me some good luck this week. Tim, when I looked at Jerry Neuheisel being carried off the field, it reminded me of a guy who looked like he put down his skateboard and his surfboard and decided to coach football for a day. And it was like something out of a Disney movie, right? And it felt like it was too good to be true. But we'll talk about the Bruins as they hit the road this week. What an incredible upset. And I don't know if that's finally going to be the downfall of James Franklin at Penn State.
Big game James. Usually he thrives in the bully role, but Penn State now a whopping 0-5 against the spread, and they are outside the top 25, as is Texas, as is Clemson, three of the top four teams in the preseason AP poll. It's a monster card this week. Matt, you will be boots on the ground at a game as well. We'll discuss that game here in just a little bit. But we've got some marquee matchups, so let's get to them right now.
The main course.
All right, Matt, a top 10 showdown over in Eugene. Friend of the show and a friend of the podcast, Wes Reynolds. He will be boots on the ground in Eugene, Oregon. He will be at Autzen Stadium, Matt. This one should be great. Indiana taking on Oregon. The look-ahead line was 10. Now we're looking at 7.5. So even a couple sevens out there in the betting market. So money coming in on the Indiana Hoosiers.
Yeah, Tim, you probably recall when you asked me about the look-ahead line at DraftKings a week and a half ago when it was 10, I think 10.5, and I said that's too high. A number on this game should be about 7 or 7.5, and that's mostly what we're seeing in the market right now. Unfortunately, I did not grab the best number. I did not bet that look-ahead number. I should have, but didn't. And I do have a small play here on Indiana plus 7.5. It's not a big bet. I'm a little bit concerned about the Hoosiers staying in this game into the fourth quarter and maybe losing contact late in the fourth quarter, losing by 10, 14, something like that. When you don't have a strong feeling about a team pulling the outright upset, sometimes taking single digits can be a little bit dangerous. I'd feel a lot better, a lot stronger on this play if I had grabbed a 10.5 with the Hoosiers. But here's the thing about Indiana. You're going to hear a lot of people handicap this game and say, Kurt Cignetti is a bully. When he steps up in class, he can't get it done. And I understand that, but he hasn't had many opportunities to step up in class. He had two last year, one at Ohio State and one at Notre Dame. Those are road games against the two teams that played for the national championship, okay? That's not exactly a black eye on his resume. And also this Hoosiers team is better than it was a year ago. You got a better quarterback in Fernando Mendoza. I think the skill position players, running backs and receivers, are better. Defense, about the same, maybe even a little bit better. We'll find out this week if this defense can contain Dante Moore and the Ducks' speed on offense. Mendoza right now, 73% completion, 16 touchdowns, one pick. I'm not going to make too much of the numbers, Tim, because he's played a couple of cupcake opponents. And in the Big Ten so far, faced Iowa and Illinois. But I believe in the Hoosiers. I think they're probably going to be a playoff team. Toughest game remaining after this is at Penn State on November 8th. That doesn't look so daunting anymore. If the Ducks can go in there and win, I think the Hoosiers can too, talking about Happy Valley. But I'll take the 7.5 here with Cignetti, and I think the Hoosiers can hang in this game.
I can't wait to watch this one, 3:30 CBS, Oregon hosting in this one. And yeah, I don't have a bet on this one, Matt. I've gone back and forth, and I know you and Wes and a handful of others here at VSiN that I certainly respect your guys' opinions and your handicaps of these programs. So I'll probably be on the sideline here. I love the quarterback matchup. Dante Moore, I know a guy that you and I were disappointed by what we saw when he was a true freshman at UCLA, but he's really stepped up his game, completing 75% of his passes, 14 touchdowns, one pick. Thought his performance on the road at Penn State was really, really impressive. You know, that fourth down in overtime, sneak up the middle, 29 of 39 in that game, Matt. Two great quarterbacks. This is a damn good football game. Can't wait to watch it. And you will be in on Indiana plus the 7.5. Plenty of 7.5s out there right now. Matt, let's go to Alabama and Missouri. This is number 8, Alabama at number 14, Missouri. When you think about the situational spot for Indiana and Oregon, it's very comparable. Both of them are coming off a bye, so there's no rest advantage. This game is very different, right? You have a Missouri team, Matt, who was off last week, played UMass 2 weeks ago, and on the flip side, Alabama comes to Columbia playing Georgia, and then following up with a win over Vanderbilt. And right now, Alabama very much entrenched back in national championship conversations, minus $3 to make the playoff. This will be a noon Eastern, 11 a.m. local kick on ABC. You know how much you and I love to bet the early games. I took an early number on Missouri. I expected this game to come down. There's still a 3.5 out there, Matt. I will take the 3.5 with Missouri. It is not my favorite bet of the weekend, but 3.5 minus 15 is out there on Thursday morning at FanDuel. I think it's fair to ask the question. I know you know this Missouri team well. How good are they? Their strength of schedule is 109. Their best two wins, South Carolina and Kansas, I think were more dominant than the final score indicated. When you look at the differences in yardage, they outgained Kansas 595 to 241, outgained South Carolina 456 to 293. And someone that you talked about extensively in the preseason, Matt, was Ahmad Hardy. And boy, has he been impressive. The UL Monroe transfer is right now leading the nation, Matt, in rushing. So Alabama's got the third most difficult schedule to date. Missouri, as mentioned, 109. But I'll take the points here with Missouri. This could be a really tricky spot. Oh, by the way, Matt, Alabama plays Tennessee next week, so the gauntlet doesn't stop for the Crimson Tide.
And I believe the Tigers go to Auburn, right, for their first road game of the season. Yep. And what I talked about a lot in the offseason, wrote about in the VSiN College Football Betting Guide, Missouri over 7 wins. FanDuel actually had 6.5 late in the summer. Missouri over 7 wins was my best win total bet in college football. A lot of that had to do with the schedule. 6 home games to start the season, and 5 of those against opponents that Missouri would definitely be favored over and should beat. And we got Missouri right now at 5-0 with the Crimson Tide coming to town. So I believe this Missouri team is legit. I really do. Ahmad Hardy has turned out to be exactly what I thought he would be. Transfer from Louisiana. He led all freshmen running backs and rushing yards last season, and he's making a big impact, as is Bo Perbula, the Penn State transfer quarterback. There might be some Nittany Lions fans kind of wish he was still on that team, but not to say, you know, I don't want to take a shot at Drew Aller because I thought he played okay against UCLA last week. That's more of a James Franklin failing than anything. But also, if you look at what Eli brought in terms of transfers, get some impact guys on defense all over the field. I thought he had 6 or 7 high-impact transfers he brought in. Now, when you handicap the game this week, the step up in class is significant because you talked about the difference in schedule strength, and it's obvious that this is a huge step up for Missouri. It's not really a good scheduling spot for the Tide either because they're off a game against Vandy that they put a lot of focus on. That was a Vandy revenge game. They got outplayed in the first half and had to play a great second half to hold off the Commodores. Like you said, week after week after week, the Tide have been tested. It's been a very difficult schedule. You can make a case here that Alabama's cheap at minus 3. You can make a case that Missouri's being a little bit disrespected and the Tigers are going to win this game on their home field. I'm kind of torn between the two. I lean to the Tigers, but I wanted to get more than this number really in the preseason, Tim. I thought we were going to be catching Missouri +7 in this spot.
Yeah.
And right now you're catching 3.5 is the best number you can get. Like I said, I lean Missouri. It's not on my best bet list as of right now.
Yeah, and it's certainly fair. In Alabama, a team that I was high on preseason, and honestly, with the number being 3.5, I would love an Alabama 3-point win because I've got a pretty sizable position on them to make the playoff. So this would be a big win for them. We'll see if Missouri can run the ball. If you look at the numbers that Brett Ciancia puts out there in his Pick 6 Plus weekly edition, the defensive rushing efficiency for Alabama, 53rd in the country, and the rushing offense for Missouri is one of the best in the country. So that could be the difference here. Ty Simpson with those weapons, though, if he has time to throw, Jeremy Bernard and Ryan Williams, they really could take advantage. So not my favorite play, but it will be a best bet at 3.5. I'll take the home dog in Missouri in a really advantageous spot for the Missouri Tigers. Matt, another top 10 or top 25 matchup, I should say, at noon Eastern on Fox. Our friend Chris the Bear Felica will be there with his Fox crew. Number 1 Ohio State at number 17 Illinois. Matt, we were hoping for a sandwich spot last week. Unfortunately, Purdue decided to cough the ball up a couple times, and we couldn't get there with the Purdue Boilermakers catching near double digits. Now, Illinois, these are the types of spots that Bert Bielema kind of rises to the occasion. 14.5 out there in the market. Can the Illini be a pest against Ohio State?
You know, I was pretty impressed by Luke Altmyer and the way he played last week. That's Purdue's weakness, is pass defense, and Illinois took full advantage of that, and that's why Illinois got the cover in the road win, 43-27. Our buddy Sammy P, Sammy Paniatovich, asked me yesterday, does this number look high on Ohio State? I said, of course, it looks high to me. I always think these Buckeyes numbers are inflated. And I take the dog, and then I always get ticked off because Ohio State finds a way to cover. And use it typically in a game that, like Washington, where you felt like the Huskies, you know, with a fake field goal and a poor roughing the passer call to win against them and a lot of stuff, you feel like the Huskies deserved a better fate. But again, Buckeyes roll into Seattle and get the cover. I'll be taking the points here with Illinois. And you're going to have a great environment in Champaign for this game. It's going to be a raucous home crowd. Brett Bielema is really doing a good job here. I've had to upgrade Illinois a little bit. You know, I know the Illini got humiliated by Indiana and Kurt Cignetti, 63-10. But if you look at the big picture, I think that was a little bit more of an outlier than anything. It was kind of one of those avalanche situations where everything was just working against Illinois that day and everything was going for Indiana. So I don't think Indiana's truly 50 points better than Illinois, obviously. But Buckeyes still have a freshman quarterback, Tim. I know he's looked a little bit better in a couple recent games, talking about Julian Sand. But going on the road in this spot could be a little bit challenging for him. And I think Illinois has got the personnel to match up with Ohio State enough to cover this number. I took 14.5 with the Illini. I think Ohio State's going to probably grind this one out, win by 7, 10 points, something like that. But I do expect the Illini to hang in this and have a shot to win it in the fourth quarter. But I have to take 14.5. There was 16 out there, Tim, on Monday, and I was going to take it before I could get to it. It's down to 14.5. I'll still take that number because I think that number is a little bit inflated.
Matt, it's not going to be the Red River shootout because, well, you look at these two defenses, and they're pretty loaded. Texas and Oklahoma. Number 6, Oklahoma. Unranked Texas, the Cotton Bowl, the Dallas, or the Texas State Fair, as we all know. This one will be at 3:30, not noon, 3:30 on ABC. Matt, you go back to 2023, 64 points. 2022, that was the 49-0 drubbing Texas put on Oklahoma. How about in 2021, 55-48, the COVID year, 53-35. And now you're looking at a total in the low 40s for Texas and Oklahoma. I spent a lot of time on Wednesday's podcast talking about this, Matt. I love this game, and here's why. because this is classic college football. You've got reporters waiting in bushes in Oklahoma trying to see if they can get a sight of John Mateer. We've got people at Chipotle asking John Mateer if he's going to play, and he said, quote, 100%, I'm going to play against Texas. That was back on September 29th. You've got doctors being applauded for how quickly John Mateer is going to come. This is what college football is all about, Matt. I'm curious your thoughts on this game. I do have a bet on it, and I'll give it out here in just a moment. But Red River, Oklahoma, and Texas, who would have thought with a preseason number of Texas minus 10 that we'd be looking at a pick'em without John Mateer potentially on Saturday?
Yeah, you're right. Crazy circumstances around this game. I had this circled for about a month, and I said, I'm going to bet Oklahoma, and that was with John Mateer. I thought Oklahoma was going to take down Texas, and at that point, Texas was favored on the look-ahead line, and you catch more than a field goal. And I love that spot because I was convinced that Mateer was going to lead the Sooners to a win over Arch Manning. And look, most overrated player in college football still is Arch Manning, and I think most people have realized this since the Ohio State game and subsequent weeks that he's nowhere near what he was hyped up to be, and I was guilty of it too. I believe guys like Peyton Manning talking about how great Arch looked in the Manning Passing Academy. I heard Ed Orgeron talking about how Arch, if he could pick one quarterback to build around for the future, it'd be Arch Manning because he's the next Joe Burrow. Man, I'll tell you what, that hype was way off target. And Arch, again, not very impressive in the swamp in that loss to Florida last week. So with two great defenses here, and they are great defenses, I think they both might be top five defenses in college football. Maybe I'll look under the total in this game, Tim. I have not bet anything here yet because I'm skeptical that John Mateer is actually going to play about 3 weeks after surgery. That's a pretty significant injury for a guy like that to come back from and then step on the field and perform at a high level without much of any practice over the course of 3 weeks. I'm skeptical he's going to play. And if he plays, then he could play well. And I don't want to bet on Oklahoma with Michael Hawkins at quarterback. Believe it or not, I actually lean Texas a little bit here. But we don't know if Mateer is going to play yet, so I'm taking a sit-back-and-wait approach to this game. I'm not going to put a play. I don't have a bet on it right now and don't have a play. I'll tell you that a friend of ours, actually, you don't know the guy, so I can't call him a friend of yours, but he is a big college football bettor. And he took 10.5 over the summer on the games of the year line, lines with Oklahoma. So he's got Sooners plus 10.5 in his pocket. Tim, that looked like an awesome bet when John Mateer was rolling a quarterback. And now with Michael Hawkins, you don't feel so good even with that.
I'm going to be a bit more aggressive. I'm taking Texas here in this spot, and I'm banking on John Mateer not playing. You know, 17 days removed from surgery on his throwing hand. All this gamesmanship listed as questionable on the SEC, you know, official, air quotes, injury report. And this reminds me, speaking of our friend Sammy P, he wrote an article, I think, for Fox Sports comparing this game to 2023 when similarly Oklahoma kind of played this game with Dylan Gabriel and then ultimately didn't play and Texas won 49-0. Now, do I expect Texas even with Mateer maybe being sidelined to win 49-0? Hell no. I mean, this defense for Oklahoma is incredible. I mean, it might be the best defense in the country. I think it's up there for the debate. Their defensive line is stout, and Texas's offensive line, you and I played a clip from David Pollack on VSiN Primetime earlier this week saying, yeah, Arch Manning's getting all this criticism, rightfully so. He hasn't been great, but the offensive line has been crap. And Steve Sarkisian's play calling has not been good. Right. All that being said, Matt, you and I like to buy low a lot. And all week long, we've heard about how Texas stinks. You're seeing articles written how he's the biggest flop in the history of the sport, all this and that. Is Arch Manning overhyped? Yes. But is he that bad? I don't think he is. So I think at the cheapest money line that is out there, it was picked for about a day or two at Westgate. It's now around minus 115 or so. I just don't think John Mateer is going to play, Matt, and I think it's a massive drop from John Mateer to Michael Hawkins. I think there was a lot of people terrified by the performance we saw last week against arguably the worst FBS team in Kent State. So I'm going to bank on John Mateer not playing in this game, and I'm going to buy low on the Texas Longhorns, a team, Matt, that spent a good chunk of week one as the favorite on the road at Ohio State, and now they're a pick'em against Oklahoma with likely their backup quarterback playing. If John Mateer plays and he plays out, nothing I can do, but I'm going to bank on logic and Texas playing against a quarterback in Oklahoma here being out. All right, Tim, before I move forward.
Like I said, I don't expect John Mateer to play either. How about under 43.5? Have you thought about the total on that? Because, well, you talked about Texas and the offensive line issues. The way that Michael Hawkins is probably going to struggle against this Texas defense, I could see a 17-13 type of game here.
Yeah, I think I could certainly do. I mean, I've already bet Texas. I could certainly put a little more on 43.5 under, and that could be a possibility as well. Because yeah, I agree. I don't see a bunch of success from either one of these teams. I mean, you think back to Oklahoma's wins over Auburn, 24-17. They had a trick play that should have never been counted, go for a touchdown against the Auburn Tigers there. So even with John Mateer, and as well as, you know, he had played and he was one of the Heisman favorites, this offense was not great. The defense was spectacular, and we saw that against Michigan. Speaking of Michigan, before we get to their game, just a reminder, folks, that this broadcast of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, is being brought to you by our friends over at Rainbow Authentics. You see me wear the hat often. Beyond memorabilia, Rainbow Authentics is committed to supporting the community. Their mission is rooted and empowering student athletes and coaches, strengthening local programs, and giving back to Hawaii with pride. With exclusive custom gear, Rainbow Authentics also makes sure you look your best every game day. Find all the unique items. And a new shirt, from what I understand, is in the works. So we will keep our eyes peeled for that over at rainbowauthentics.com. Mahalo to our friends at Rainbow Authentics for being a season-long sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. Hawaii's got a big one on the island late night on Saturday. We'll get to that towards the end of the podcast, Matt. But you and I, we're talking about that double-decker taco back at Taco Bell. Oh, man, what a great taco that is. You put a little of that hot sauce on there, and it fuels your evening, no doubt about it. So, Matt, let's get into those special matchups.
Muy caliente!
Spicy matchups.
And I got to imagine, Matt, when you land in California on Saturday, you've already got it mapped out what places you will be eating at prior to your visit to the L.A. Coliseum as number 15 Michigan takes on USC, 7:30 on NBC. You will be in attendance for this one with the Trojans as a 2.5-point favorite.
Tim, I was out with a girl last night. We went to late night, went to the South Point to watch the movie The Smashing Machine with The Rock. Ooh. Have you seen that about the UFC fighter?
I've seen
MMA?
That. I've seen the previews. Emily Blunt in that movie as well, but I have not seen it.
So we were watching that movie last night. I don't think it really appeals to the general public unless you're a MMA fan or a fan of The Rock. I did like the movie. I gave it 2.5 stars out of 5. I'm a tough critic. The girl gave the movie 4 stars out of 5 because she likes The Rock.
Oh.
And but 2.5 I think is a fair judgment. But she said at one point, "You seem distracted tonight. You're not paying much attention to me." I said, "Well, I gotta be honest, I'm thinking a lot about Saturday and planning out my food trips because I'm going to Denny's when I get to the Burbank airport on Saturday morning. Before I talk to you for the college football tailgate show, I'll be at Denny's. And then after that, Portillo's. How about this? We're going to Portillo's. I'm going to meet 3 guys at the Portillo's in Anaheim, Buena Park. And we're going to drive to the Coliseum from there for the Michigan-USC game. And then I was also thinking about, okay, we can hit Portillo's twice when we come back and you hit it again. That's going to be a huge day, Tim. You're talking about spicy matchups. I don't think it gets much better than Denny's, a doubleheader at Portillo's, and Michigan-USC.
That's a day. Now that, ladies and gentlemen, is how you play it a Saturday right there. And, of course, a hit on the VSiN College Football Tailgate Show thrown in there as well.
So looking forward to all that on Saturday. And I apologized to her. I said, yeah, I'm a bit distracted. Got a lot going on this week. Yeah.
Well, get us a preview of Michigan and USC. As a Notre Dame fan, it pains me to say it, but I'm a big USC fan, so I'm fighting on all weekend long. Will you be looking to lay the short number with the home Trojans against Michigan?
So I am, and I'm probably going to bet the money line here just to be a little bit safe and, you know, peace of mind, too, just it wouldn't stun me if USC won this game something like, 31-30 or let's say 28-27, you know, some score like that. But I do like USC in the game, and I think the Trojans should take care of business here. So I'm going to lay 2.5 in the Westgate picks contest, and I'll say 2.5 is the best bet here. But I am going to lay the money line price on USC. And I think Lincoln Riley is in a good spot here. He's off a bye, and Michigan just played a home game against Wisconsin last week. Tim, I watched the tape. I recorded that game, and I watched it two nights ago. You talk about ugly football. I think this Michigan team's still living off the reputation from 2 years ago. And this is not the same program right now. It's not the Jim Harbaugh coach team. The talent level's a little bit down. And you got a freshman quarterback in Bryce Underwood who's played two road games this season. One at Oklahoma, we just talked about, he was 9-for-24 for 142 yards. He hit one big play in that game, and that's basically all he did in the passing game. At Nebraska, Bryce Underwood, 12-for-22 for 105 yards. So he's going to have to prove to me that he can go on the road, and this is going to be a great environment, by the way. I've heard the Coliseum's going to be sold out for this game Saturday night. So I'm willing to bet against the freshman quarterback here. And I don't think Michigan is anywhere close to what it was a couple of years ago, but it's rating, it's respecting the betting market is still reflective of a Michigan team that's, you know, like a Big Ten title contender, and I don't believe that. I think USC's being a little bit underrated. Lincoln Riley has had a lot of time here to prep this offense. Jaden Maiava has really stepped up. I had concerns coming into the season that he was going to be a turnover-prone quarterback, you know, have a lot of turnover-worthy plays. That really hasn't been the case so far. And I think he's looked pretty impressive in the offense. You got two big-time receivers. You got talent at running back. And I think this USC defensive line is really talented, too. I know the defensive numbers aren't that impressive for USC so far, aren't impressive at all. But Danton Lynn is a pretty good DC. And the bye week, I think, is definitely a plus for the Trojans. Tim, when you think about Lincoln Riley, where does he come up short? He comes up short on the road. Here at home, I think this is going to be a big game that he's going to win. I like USC.
All right, fight on. USC, 2.5-point favorites right now against Michigan. That is primetime, 7:30 Eastern on NBC. Also in that time slot, Matt, you'll be watching that game at the Coliseum, and I'll be sitting at home with the multi-screen setup, sweating out this next game, 7:30 on ABC. And last week, we did a little history lesson, and you said this is Sunbelt Billy's last stand. And then I brought up Custer, and you said, well, hopefully it's not like Custer, as he got bludgeoned and everyone else at the Battle of Little Bighorn. Well, I think this might be Hugh Freeze's last stand. If they don't play well on Saturday night on the Plains, we could be seeing another coaching change. I would not be surprised. So this spot for Auburn, coming off a bye, Matt, this is as ideal as it gets. You got a primetime game. You got a top 10 team coming in. This is not a vintage Georgia squad. I'm going to take the points here with Auburn. This feels like a desperate spot here for War Eagle. I have not been impressed whatsoever by Jackson Arnold. His play has been very underwhelming this year. He's been sacked 20 times. How about every time he drops back, Matt, according to the numbers from Brett Ciancia, 15% of the time he's being sacked. That's insane, Matt. But right. Georgia, so far, hasn't really been able to get to the quarterback. So will Jackson Arnold have enough time to get it to some of the big-time playmakers in Eric Singleton and Cam Coleman? 3.5 seems like a fishy number to me. You look at some of our betting splits over at vsin.com. I know it's early, but Auburn getting just 16% of bets right now at DraftKings, 84% on the Georgia Bulldogs. It's a night game. It's the SEC, Matt. They're coming off a bye. They're desperate. It feels like Auburn really has to show out here against Georgia. Georgia, back-to-back games against Alabama. They were able to get a cover last week against Kentucky, albeit by just a half point. I don't love it, but I think this spot screams at Auburn, so I will roll with War Damn Eagle on primetime as well, 7:30 on Saturday night on the Plains.
Yeah, I lean to the home dog here. I've considered this as a play. Have not done it yet. Don't forget, we have a podcast fan who says we have to refer to Hugh Freeze as High School Hugh because of his high school offense, his high school background. But I would say that Kirby Smart's defense just does not look the same. Tim, what's up with the Georgia defense? And if you go back to the first half of the game against Alabama, Georgia had a 33-game home win streak, and Ty Simpson just went up and down the field against Kirby Smart's defense. You know what's interesting to something to watch here? Kirby Smart has made really good second-half adjustments against Tennessee and against Alabama, but in the first half, his defense has got run over. Maybe something like that happens here, where you can look at a second-half bet, too, where Kirby Smart makes adjustments in the second half, because he did make some really good adjustments against the Volunteers and the Tide in the second half, second halves of those games. Like I said, I lean Auburn. It's not a play for me right now, but I can definitely see your point of view on this game.
So speaking of Sunbelt Billy, he and the Florida Gators fresh off of their win over Texas last week, and what a performance. You mentioned the return or the debut of Dallas Wilson, and man, did that dude look every bit the part of a five-star freshman. Six catches, a 111, two touchdowns, and Texas A&M at home here, Giggum Aggie, 7 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Speaking of that Auburn terrible offense, they had just 177 yards against Texas A&M a couple weeks back in a 16-10 loss. Florida catching 7.5, Matt. Are you riding again with Sunbelt Billy in an underdog role?
Tim, I've said this for a long time. There's no bigger fan of Sunbelt Billy Napier than me. I've always liked this guy. Yeah. You know what? He came through. Billy came through for me last week. So I'm signing up for two more weeks, another week of Billy Ball. And I'm going to do it mainly because of Dallas Wilson and the improvement. I talked about it last week. Dallas Wilson was a stud in the spring game, 10 catches, about 200 yards. And I thought he was going to make a big impact on that Florida offense last week. Plus, I just did not believe that Arch Manning and the Longhorns deserved to be favored by that number going into the Swamp. I thought that was crazy. That number was 7? Are you kidding me? I thought it should have been more like 3. And I still would have bet Florida. But I do think Dallas Wilson makes a big difference in an offense that was struggling and averaging, about 11 points per game during that three-game win streak. He steps in. All of a sudden, you have an explosive play element that's going to open things up for DJ Lagway and that running attack. I think now that Florida's got a win, Gators could be dangerous. And, Tim, you just talked about the Auburn offensive numbers that were pathetic at Texas A&M a couple of weeks ago. Aggies barely won that game, barely able to hang on and win that game by 6. So I think the Aggies have also been playing with fire a little bit here, and you're catching a Florida team that's suddenly playing with a little bit more confidence after the win over Texas. I'm taking the 7.5, and I'm taking it with Billy, my favorite new coach in the SEC. Sunbelt Billy stepping up in class, getting the job done against Texas. And I think he can get the cover here against Texas A&M. You know, their coach who needs to have some heat put on him if he doesn't deliver this week, and I'm talking about serious heat, is going to be the coach who was on the losing end last week, and that's Steve Sarkisian.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's why I do think for me, and going back to the Texas game, that's what interests me there with Texas is just a week of crap talk about that program and how poorly they have played. But a coach that certainly could be on the hot seat, Matt, if they were to fall this weekend, and you and I have a mutual friend down in the land of the bayou, Jimmy Ott. I'm curious his thoughts heading into this one. We've seen a little bit of love come in on South Carolina. Look ahead number was 10.5. Now we're looking at, 8.5, 9 out there with South Carolina on the road at LSU. It's a night game. 7:45, Tiger Stadium at night is always a challenge. Initially, I leaned towards the dog, but I'm going to stay off this game, Matt. We've got South Carolina at LSU, 7:45 SEC Network. Is this a spot where Brian Kelly, who he's certainly feeling the heat, do they take care of business against a maybe slightly under-the-radar South Carolina team after they dropped two games already this early portion of the season?
I definitely don't trust LSU laying this number, Tim. And if you look at the LSU offensive numbers, aside from the one cupcake opponent that the Tigers smoked 2 weeks ago, this LSU offense is really struggling. I know Brian Kelly doesn't want to hear the questions, but those tough questions need to be asked about why LSU's offense is underachieving. So, no, I'm going to pass on this game. I'm definitely not going to lay the number.
All right, another game in the primetime slot, Matt. Number 18, BYU at Arizona. You certainly can make an argument that these two teams have not really been tested all that much. Arizona slightly more than BYU. BYU 5-0. You know, I bet against them a couple weeks ago against East Carolina. They were able to pull away in that one. But, Matt, you got a backdoor cover last week by West Virginia against BYU. And Colorado probably should have beaten BYU a couple weeks ago in a late night game. Some terrible clock management, as we discussed, you know, out there regarding Coach Prime. I don't know what this BYU team is yet. Their non-conference schedule was laughable. Portland State, Stanford, and East Carolina. Good win there. They deserve credit for that. I think that was a tricky spot. But they played arguably the two worst teams in the conference. I guess Oklahoma State they haven't played. Arizona's played them. And they have maybe a little bit of a look-ahead spot here with the Holy War next week, BYU taking on their arch rival in Utah there. Arizona, a team, and Brent Brennan that I was not very high on coming into this year, and I would say they've exceeded expectations. And, you know, Matt, I think that win over Kansas State is going to continue to age better. I think Kansas State, this might be just a weird year for Chris Kleiman's squad. They had a tough loss last week, but that 23-17 score was not indicative of how dominant the Wildcats were on that Friday night in Tucson. They outgained K-State 412-193. I think the wrong team is favored here. You're starting to see it. I wouldn't be surprised if this game goes off around a pick. If I can get a couple of points with Arizona in a, I think, a better spot, I'll take Arizona here. So I'm going to ride with a slight home dog in the Wildcats against the Cougars on Saturday night in Tucson.
You know, a bit of a fishy line. I'm not even quite sure what to make of it, so I haven't played this yet. But Arizona, I thought Arizona should be the favorite here, Tim. I know some touts like to put out the wrong team is favored game of the week or game of the month. It looks like the wrong team's favorite here to me. I made Arizona a two-point favorite in this game, and right now BYU 1.5 across the board. I even see a 2.5 offshore or two. Like you said, the Cougars probably should have lost to Colorado a couple weeks ago. I wasn't all that impressed with the performance at times against West Virginia a week ago. And Noah Fifita has played pretty well at quarterback for Arizona so far. 13 TDs, 3 picks. Ismail Mahdi has stepped up at running back so he can move the ball on the ground as well. You thought this year the Tep McMillan was really going to be missed. I thought that was the one thing I was concerned about with Arizona. How would this offense look without Tep McMillan? You've had a wide receiver core is good enough, and I like the way this Arizona team's playing. Like you said, a pretty dominant performance for the most part against K-State. So I lean Arizona. I have not bet it yet. I'm not really sure why BYU is a 1.5-point favorite when I think Arizona should be a small favorite.
But the funny thing is, Matt, people will see the number by BYU, the better, and think that this team is on sale. They look at the 5-0 record. So on Thursday, as we record this, over on our VSiN.com betting splits, which you can get as a VSiN Pro subscriber, 73% of bets on BYU, both on the money line and on the spread. So I like Arizona here in this spot. Matt, I don't have a bet on this one, but it's going to be a great game, great late-night game. Stormy will be on the sidelines. 10:15 ESPN, Arizona State at Utah. If Arizona State wins this game, they have got a smooth sailing path to the Big 12 championship game where they would more than likely play Texas Tech. If Utah is able to win it, then it kind of continues that jumbled mess. Arizona State, since their loss to Mississippi State, I feel like, Matt, have played a little bit better. Arizona State right now in the betting market sitting at around a 5.5-point underdog to Utah on the road. And this will be, as mentioned, a night game, unlike that 10 a.m. local kick we got for Utah-Texas Tech a couple weeks back.
Yeah, this is one thing that I like about ESPN. You got the late start, 7:15 Pacific in Salt Lake City. I kind of lean Utah in this game. Again, I hate to use the word lean too much, but I haven't bet it yet, so I don't want to sound like I'm making a convincing case here for the Utes, because there's not a lot on their resume right now that jumps out at you, Tim. When you're talking about wins against UCLA, Cal Poly, Wyoming, and West Virginia. So how good is this Utah team? They got blown out at home by Texas Tech on that Saturday morning a few weeks ago. I'm not sure. And I know Devin Dampier, the quarterback, was banged up for that game, so maybe you could make a couple of excuses for the Utes. But, Tim, is this team what we thought it was going into the Texas Tech game or not? We really don't know. I don't have a great read on this game, but Utah would be my side if I do play it. And by the way, Utah's a favorite. I believe Utah's a favorite on the look-ahead line at DraftKings against BYU next week, right?
They are. Yeah, 1.5-point favorite, I believe, is the look-ahead line out there for BYU and Utah at BYU. So Utah, a road favorite at BYU for the Holy War. Once again, leaning into why, not that it's going to be a massive look ahead, but you know, you're human. Peek ahead to hosting Utah the following week should be
also, I want to mention that was a bitter, controversial loss last year. Remember the late penalty flag that came out that screwed Utah in that game? That was a horrendous screw job that BYU or the Utah took it home against BYU a year ago. So I'm sure they've had this game circled on the calendar for a long time. Also want to, for the record, say if I bet Utah, it's going to be on a moneyline parlay. I'm not going to be laying the 5.5. I would do something like that with it.
Well, moneyline parlay off to a good start for me. Louisville, nice loss last week to ruin the Alabama moneyline parlay when they had a postgame win expectancy of 89.8%. Always fun to have that. Matt, let's power through. We'll call this the best of the rest. We'll go in chronological order, and then we'll close out with some Mountain West games here. Pitt at Florida State. Florida State laying 10.5 here. Matt, I thought about looking at the dog here. Ultimately, I'll pass. I don't like betting on the dope Pat Narduzzi, but he did make a change at quarterback, Mason Heinsteckel, and he was pretty impressive last week, albeit against a terrible team in Boston College. Florida State, how do they bounce back, Matt, after the loss to Miami?
You know, maybe Bill O'Brien and Bill Belichick, and they can reunite and coach a team in the UFL this year. Bill O'Brien's not getting it done at BC. There's no question. There's a new campaign, Heinsteckel for Heisman. Tim, I know you signed on to this. Have you made a Heisman futures bet on Heinsteckel yet? Have you done this?
I'm all in. Yes. Anytime I could put money behind something Pat Narduzzi is doing, I will. I will certainly do it.
The only thing I'll say about this is that I think the scheduling spot, or the situational spot, is pretty good for Pitt, and I would lean taking 10. I actually seriously thought about betting Pitt plus 10.5 here, but I don't like Pat Narduzzi at all. I don't like to bet on Narduzzi, and you just said that, so sign me up for the same thing. I can't bet on Pat Narduzzi.
Yeah. Maybe the biggest letdown of the weekend, Matt, UCLA goes to Michigan State, 23.5-point win last week, and they carry Jerry Neuheisel off the field. They dump Gatorade on him. Man, no love for Tim Skipper, by the way, but a 9 a.m. local kick for UCLA at Michigan State. Jonathan Smith needs this one, Matt. They lose last week. I know they get in the, I guess it depends on what number you got, either backdoor cover or not, but Michigan State catching or laying 8.5. I laid 8.5 here, Matt. I just think situationally, I don't know how UCLA is going to respond. Maybe they figured something out. Nico played really well, and I'll raise my hand and say I was wrong if it's not the case. But from a situational standpoint, I had to lay the chalk here with Michigan State. Noon on Big Ten Network. Any thoughts on UCLA, Michigan State?
That was Nico's best game at UCLA by far. Maybe they did figure some things out with the play calling with Jerry Neuheisel. And I agree. Where was Tim Skipper being carried off the field after that win? He is the interim coach, head coach, 25-point underdog. You beat you beat Penn State and James Franklin, and nobody's carrying Tim Skipper off the field. He was the former interim coach at Fresno, and they were acting like Jerry Neuheisel was the head coach last week. Anyway, this is obviously a really difficult spot for the Bruins off that big win going on the road. I think laying 8.5 is a little bit risky with the Spartans at this point. If you're talking about 7, it's a different bet. But once you get up to 8.5,
yeah.
I'm not a big fan of this Michigan State team right now, and especially covering a number like this. Again, I think Michigan State probably a better candidate for a money line parlay type of play, something like that, if you feel like you have to play this game. It makes me uncomfortable laying this number with the Spartans. But it's obvious that this is definitely a bet against situation for the Bruins.
Yeah, maybe officially it'll be a Michigan State laying the chalk, but maybe I'll put them in a money line parlay. Thinking back to last year, Northern Illinois actually had a bye after they beat Notre Dame as a 28-point favorite, and then they still lost the following week as a 13-point favorite. So you saw the hangover effect, certainly with a massive upset a year ago. Speaking of Notre Dame, they get NC State, Matt. Could be a little bit of a look ahead for the Irish. 23-point favorites. They dominated Boise State. I was honestly lucky to get a push. That thing closed, I think, 21.5 or 22, so I could have gone back in and won the bet. But Notre Dame, I thought, really kind of suffocated Boise State in that one. Could be a weird spot. I'm not impressed by NC State. Their defense is not very good. They do have a dynamic quarterback in C.J. Bailey, but no bet for me. Notre Dame, NC State, 3:30 on Peacock. I'll lump in a couple other 3:30 games, Matt, and you can give quick thoughts on it. Iowa State at Colorado. Last week, Cincinnati was my favorite play of the week. They made it sweaty, but they ultimately got there. Money coming in on Colorado as they are down to a 2.5-point underdog at home. So this number's been on the move. Iowa State dealing with a ton of injuries in their secondary, as we discussed last week. Colorado's usually played the role of dog much better than the role of favorite. And then also in that 3:30 window, you've got TCU taking on Kansas State. I don't know what to expect from Kansas State anymore, Matt. They were the right side last week from a betting standpoint, but they lose on a 50-some-odd-yard field goal from Baylor. Chris Klieman's squad kind of feels a little bit like Kansas a year ago, where they just keep losing these close games. They're a 1.5-point home dog. I would say normally you'd be interested in the Purple Cats catching points at home, but it's hard to tell where the mindset is right now on Kansas State.
Yeah, it's been a demoralizing season for K-State. It's going to be tough for that team to be resilient and make a comeback no matter how much you like the coach when you continue to take those close losses like that. The game that I think is most interesting from a handicapping perspective is Iowa State-Colorado, because I know the Cyclones got some injuries, like you said, but still, that number looks cheap to me on Rocco Becht and the Cyclones. I have not seen much of a buy sign on the Buffaloes at this point, and I lean Iowa State, but the number is going to keep me off the game because the number is telling you actually you should bet Colorado and the move in the betting market, so that's going to be a pass.
All right, another situational spot and a bet for me, Matt. This will be the third time I've backed Casey Keeler and the Owls. I'm 1-1. We'll see if I can get to 2-1. Navy coming off of a thrilling win over Air Force, 34-31. Didn't get the cover, but did get the win in impressive fashion. That's a huge win for Navy. Commander-in-Chief, number one leg. How about their quarterback, Blake Horvath, throwing for 339 yards? Eli Heidenreich. Maybe we need to start some Heidenreich for Heisman.
Yeah,
8 catches for 243 yards and 3 touchdowns, Matt, against that putrid defense of Air Force. But I think the number's just a little bit elevated here. I think Casey Keeler is starting to figure some things out in his first year at Temple. There's a 10 out there, and that's what I was waiting for. So 10 minus 15 is the number at DraftKings. This is an explosive offense, though, for Navy, but I think this is a bit of a tricky spot. I think Temple can try to muck things up a little bit, and off of their big win over UTSA, I'm going to hoot with the Owls in a situational spot here against Navy, 4 o'clock on ESPN2.
Bruce, I stopped by the South Point Sportsbook last night, and Bruce Marshall, a friend of ours who's going to be on our Thursday night show, was there, and he was talking up Temple, just like you. And I said, you know, I kind of had my fill of the Owls the week we took the 25 points against Oklahoma, and that game was over before the second quarter started. And he goes, yeah, I was on the same game. But he's going to stick with Temple, and so are you. I'm not going to be on the Owls, but I can certainly see your guys' angle as you handicap that game.
Neck brace Bobby is back, baby. Arkansas, yep. He fired everybody. He's in charge. Maybe he's going to be the next head coach full-time at Arkansas. They go on the road, the Razorbacks do, after just gutting their coaching staff, Sam Pittman, basically everyone on the defensive staff. I don't know. Sources tell me that Matt Grissom might be a defensive quality controls coach now because they're so desperate for coaches down there in Fayetteville. But a game that I just wanted to put out there, Matt, I think there's going to be a time to bet on Arkansas this year. I don't know if this is the spot. This is the highest total of the week, 68.5, Arkansas and Tennessee. How about the fact, Matt, if you compare Arkansas-Tennessee to Iowa-Wisconsin, you've got a total of 35.5 and a total of 68.5, and it's the same sport.
Which game would you rather watch? I'd rather watch Arkansas-Tennessee, no question about it. And I could see 80 points in this game. Instead of betting on neck brace Bobby, I would look at the total, even though I hate to recommend over a total like 68.5 or 69. I do think you got a chance for a really entertaining, high-scoring game. And if I'm looking for a spot to bet the Hogs, it would probably be next week or in a home spot, not the first week. It might take him a little bit of time to get this thing figured out. You got to be a miracle worker to do all this in that short amount of time. So I'm not going to get carried away with that. I'm going to throw one scenario at you. I'm hearing that Jerry Jones is going to put a ton of money behind the Arkansas football program, and that Rhett Lashley at SMU is going to be the coach that he wants to take over that program. And they're going to be kind of like Texas Tech, where they're just going to spend a ton of money, and Rhett Lashley would be the guy to run that program. Now, I've also, if UNLV keeps winning, Dan Mullen, who's 5-0, he's going to be a candidate for a job maybe in the SEC. Might not get the Arkansas job. Might be something else. But if Dan Mullen moves on from UNLV, I'm going to throw this at you, Tim. Just think about it. John Gruden could be the next coach at UNLV. This is something to think about.
John Gruden's going to be thrown out there for a lot of jobs, and I'm all here for it. I love it. I love Gruden, whatever he's doing down there with his social media presence. Speaking of Texas Tech, Matt, 7:30 on Fox, the Red Raiders, one of five teams that have not failed to cover a game, that are undefeated against the spread, probably would be the better way to put it. That would be Louisiana Tech, Utah State, Memphis, Texas Tech, and Ohio State pushed a game, so they are technically perfect against the spread. The Red Raiders, I think I underestimated this team. I thought they would be good, but I didn't know how all the pieces would fit. Interesting spot here for this week for Texas Tech. They're a massive favorite against Kansas, a pretty capable bunch. Lance Leipold as a dog is always intriguing. Can Kansas get enough stops against the Red Raiders? Guns up down in Lubbock. They're catching 14.5 against 5-0 ATS, 5-0 straight up Texas Tech.
Yeah, I was a bit skeptical, too, that the Red Raiders are going to be what they were hyped to be just because there's money behind it, and it looked like the roster's improved dramatically. Sometimes when you pay for the players and build roster that way, it just doesn't work out. We've seen it, Tim, fail with some programs. Certainly working out well for Texas Tech. I've had to upgrade this team quite a bit, especially after the blowout at Utah. Our buddy Ryan Hyatt, radio host in Lubbock, was correct on his call. I mentioned it on last week's podcast. He said the Red Raiders are going to run roughshod over Houston and cover that number last week, and they did. I have not heard from Ryan this week, so I can't give you his Texas Tech play of the week. But Tech is a team. Tim, do you have a playoff bet or any sort of future on Texas Tech?
I don't, Matt. I had a bet on Utah to win the conference, and that one didn't go so well when Utah got embarrassed by this Texas Tech team. So, by the way, Texas Tech, I don't think this is a look-ahead spot, but Arizona State waiting in the wings right now. Look ahead number, Red Raiders -5.5 in that spot. Staying in that 7:30 window, Matt, like you'll be at the Coliseum watching one of your bets, and another one of your bets will be going on at the same time. Purdue didn't get us to the window last week, a couple self-inflicted wounds, but they were competitive against Illinois. They go on the road to Minnesota, this game on Big Ten Network. Right now, 7.5. Looks like FanDuel has ticked up to 8.5. Purdue at Minnesota.
Wow. I got to look at the screen because this morning when I was working on this, Purdue was catching 9 at a bunch of spots. Let's see. Yeah, those 9s are gone. Looks like 8.5 is the best number out there. And there was 10 out there on this game early in the week. So I'm giving Barry Odom another shot here. Last week, Purdue was up 7-0, and that fumble really turned things around, turned the whole game, tilted the field in Illinois' favor, and it was that was all she wrote at that point. Purdue had a couple shots to get in the back door but couldn't get there, 43-27. The weakness of Barry Odom defense right now is pass defense. And he talked about it a lot after the game last week. He was really disappointed in the way his pass defense was shredded. And Minnesota can't really exploit that the way some other teams have, like USC, Notre Dame, Illinois, who had the quarterbacks and the skill position players to beat that Purdue pass defense. Minnesota doesn't have that type of personnel. And I think this is going to be a tight game, Tim. I'm going to give Barry Odom another shot here, catching a bunch of points. I think it's going to be a game that goes to the wire. And I'll take the Purdue +8.5 or 9.
All right, Matt, we'll wrap up with a little Mountain West Minute. We'll call it Mountain West Minutes because we'll probably have a little few more words to talk about it. 10:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. We got a good late night slate this week. I'm excited for it. San Diego State at Nevada. If you were up late last week and you turned off Cal Duke like I did because I wanted to vomit based off of the performance from Cal after their 21-7 lead, you saw Nevada, Matt, be live as a double-digit dog at Fresno State. Will the Wolf Space Pack be live as 7.5-point home dogs this weekend?
Well, let's hope so because this is my favorite late-night play here, and I got Nevada +7.5. Carter Jones, a highly touted freshman, stepped in a quarterback for Nevada last week. And that was a different game once he started playing because Carter Jones was a playmaker. And Nevada has not had that a quarterback this season, Tim. Chuba Purdy was a quarterback prior to Carter Jones. And I'm not sure how many people realize this, but Chuba Purdy had one TD pass that was late against Penn State and 8 interceptions. How the hell are you going to win games? You got a quarterback with a 1-8 TD to INT ratio. So you take Chuba Purdy out of the equation, you put in Carter Jones, who's a playmaker, and I think you're going to have a different Nevada team. Hey, that Nevada defense for Jeff Choate was pretty scrappy, pretty tough last week against Fresno. I thought the Bulldogs were lucky to hold on and win that game. And, Tim, if you look at San Diego State and the Aztecs' 2 performances on the road so far, blown out by 23 at Washington State and beat Northern Illinois and DeKalb in a 6-3 thriller. So let's take the 7.5 with the Wolfpack in Reno.
All right, Matt, we got a late night game this week. Our guy, Kanoa Leahy, will be on the call. Midnight Eastern, the get back game, Hawaii taking on Utah State. And as always, our Hawaii preview is brought to you by our friends over at Nahoku. And just a reminder, Nahoku is Hawaii's finest jeweler since 1924. For nearly 100 years, Nahoku has been sharing the spirit of aloha through an incomparable collection of Hawaiian and island lifestyle jewelry. Matt, before you know it, it's going to be Christmas time, and you're going to be looking to get a nice piece of jewelry for that young lady you took to the movies last night. Nahoku is the place to go with over 30 locations across Hawaii and the mainland. Their complete collection is also available online at nahoku.com. It's easy to find your own piece of paradise. Their designs are timeless, perfect for celebrating life's most important moments, from a special keepsake to even an engagement ring. Mahalo to our friends over at Nahoku, a proud sponsor of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. So, Matt, both these teams coming off a bye week. Hard to believe Hawaii's season's half done. They are 4-2. We saw some sharp money come into the market this week on Utah State. So we've seen a flip of favorites. Utah State now a 1.5-point favorite here. Last year, Hawaii went to Logan and was embarrassed by this Utah State team. And let's call it what it was. It was a bad Utah State team. They beat them 55-10. Timmy Chang's squad has lost 8 in a row to Utah State. Hawaii's a little bit healthier. Senecold, one of their wide receivers, is back. No play for me, Matt. I think this is a great matchup out on the island. Mentioned Utah State, 5-0 ATS. So Bronco Mendenhall, you and I love this coach. Should be a fun one. Late night, total of 58 out on the island, Hawaii and Utah State. So once again, could be a primo live betting game because it'll be the last game on the board.
Tim, do we know the status of Bryson Barnes, Utah State quarterback? He was banged up. I assume he's going to play, but I'm not exactly sure what's going on.
I believe he is expected to play.
Okay. Utah State also had a bye after that 20-point loss at Vandy a couple of weeks ago. So both these teams have a high-scoring victory over Air Force. Utah State beat Air Force 49-30. And obviously, we were wrong when Hawaii went to Colorado Springs and put it on the Falcons. We were right about that being a high-scoring game, a shootout, but Hawaii got the win. Another big game, Tim, for Timmy Chang and the Rainbow Warriors. If they want to get to a bowl, this is a big game for them to win. I think if Hawaii wins this game, Tim, Hawaii will be in a bowl game. I'm going to say that because look at the rest of the Mountain West schedule. You got some winnable spots on there. So this is a hugely important game for Timmy Chang and his team. Like you said, I got a lot of respect for Bronco Mendenhall, too. And when you looked at that matchup a year ago, it was lopsided. And Bryson Barnes, if he's healthy, I can see why the number flipped in favor of Utah State. As of right now, no play for me on this game. Typically, I've got a play on almost every Hawaii home game, but not on this one as of the time we record this on Thursday morning.
Bryson Barnes not listed on the injury report, so once again, he is good to go for that game out on the island. Worth noting, as mentioned, Utah State perfect against the spread so far this year, 5-0. Timmy Chang, since becoming the head coach of Hawaii, 17-6-1 ATS at home, so should be a fun one there. Matt, two other Mountain West games before we get out of here. New Mexico's at Boise State. Boise State coming off of the loss against Notre Dame. New Mexico has been certainly a bit of a surprising team so far this year. San Jose State, I thought, played their best game of the season last week against the Lobos there. Boise State laying 16.5 on the Smurf turf. That'll be 9:45 on FS1. And then Air Force, the very questionable defense of the Falcons, heads to UNLV, Matt, Allegiant Stadium. That game, 3:30 Eastern on CBS Sports Network. UNLV around a 6.5-point favorite. Second highest total on the board this week. Air Force, UNLV, 64.5. You mentioned Air Force's defense stinking, but Liam Zarka, this dude's pretty legit at quarterback there for the Falcons.
Yeah, I bet UNLV minus 6 here. And I'm tempted to play this over the total, but I laid the 6 because the total is so high that, you know, laying that number is not as, I'd say, not as tricky. It should be a very high-scoring game. And when you look at the Air Force defense, we've talked about this. Last three games, Air Force defense has allowed 49, 44, and 34 points. That's 42.3 a game. The last three games, Air Force defense has allowed 592, 535, and 519 total yards. That's 548.7 a game. I know the UNLV offense is not that impressive last week, but that was in the ice and snow in Wyoming. And the Rebels could put up a big number here, Tim. I might play this over the total a little bit. I do have a small play on UNLV minus 6. But I'd say as of right now, it's not one of my bigger bets or best bets. But, boy, this could be one of the best games to watch on Saturday. If I were not at the L.A. Coliseum, I would definitely go out to Allegiant Stadium to watch Air Force UNLV.
Well, I misspoke. And before we get to our best bet recap, actually the second highest total of the board will be on Friday night. A great game, and if you've got the double screen set up, you got game 5 of the ALDS, Mariners, taking on the Tigers with Scooble on the hill. Throw up South Florida, North Texas. This one's going to be awesome. Drew Mestemaker is a very good quarterback. This game is ping pong back and forth. South Florida was the favorite. UNT was the favorite. We'll call it a pick 'em. 66.5 the total there. Could be a great live trading game. So keep your eyes on that one. Should be a fun one Friday night. No play for me on that one, but just one to keep an eye on in the AAC. All right, Matt, let's get out of here, but before we do, let's recap our best bets.
Best bets recap.
All right, Matt, lead us off your best bet recap.
All right, my buddy Sunbelt Billy got me the one win last week. I went 1-4. Very disappointing. I gotta bounce back here, but I'm gonna stick with Florida again. Gators plus 7.5 at Texas A&M. Other best bets for me this week: Illinois plus 14.5, Indiana plus 7.5, Purdue plus 9, Nevada plus 7.5, and USC laying 2.5 against Michigan. 17-16-2 for the season. I definitely plan on bouncing back and having a winning week, or doing no worse than 3-3 on those six plays. I like this card a lot, Tim. I think this is one of the better college football schedules of the season this Saturday.
I totally agree. It's not an official play, but I agree with your Nevada breakdown as well. I placed that bet at plus 7.5 as well. So we'll be riding together, but not technically an official best bet. My six are, as I went 2-3-1 last week, a frustrating week, as you mentioned, 19-19-2 now on the podcast with official plays. I'm going with Texas. I think it's a buy low spot. I bet it at pick. Anything on a palatable money line price, certainly worth it. I know you and I talked about maybe playing this game under. Arizona catching a couple of points. I think it's 2, 1.5, maybe 2.5 offshore. I'll call it 2 for grading purposes. Michigan State, I'll lay the chalk. Maybe better money line parlay partner. I think that's a fair assessment there, with UCLA coming off of the emotional victory, but I'll lay it with Michigan State, but probably we'll have them on a money line parlay as well. Auburn plus 3.5. Your hold on to your butt special there. Feels like a desperation spot for Hugh Freeze. Temple plus 10. That's at DraftKings. You got to lay a little juice there at minus 15. And Missouri, I would say of these six plays, Matt, the one that I'm probably not in love with, but Missouri plus 3.5, minus 15 against Alabama, with that game starting at 11 a.m. Central time. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for the podcast. Enjoy the LA Coliseum. And just a reminder, we are back with 3 episodes each and every week. Adam Burke early in the week, Wes Reynolds, Brett Ciancia on Wednesdays, and then Matt Humans and I breaking down the card like we do every Thursday. Please rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast, and hit that subscribe button on YouTube. For producers Wyatt and Ryan, that's Matt Humans. I'm Tim Murray. Let's have ourselves a winning week right here on the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast.